The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized, he was praying. And heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So the event of baptism of the Lord is the hinge between the hidden life and the public ministry of Jesus. And as Father Lucas said at the beginning, it's also the hinge between the Christmas season and the ordinary time. Up to this moment, he lived a normal, somehow quiet life of work, neighborliness, family life, prayer, friendship in his hometown in Nazareth. From this moment on, he will begin his itinerant mission. So let's take a closer look of what happened. John the Baptist was baptizing a baptism of conversion. We heard about this at the beginning of Advent, if we remember. His message was simple and clear. Repent, convert, so you will be prepared for God's visitation. And John the Baptist would be very clear about what he meant by conversion. Do not steal, do not lie, be honest, live upright lives, moral lives. And as a proof, as a symbol of people's willingness to repent, to be prepared for God's visitation, they would enter into the water, into the Jordan River, to be cleansed by those waters and by that act of humble humility. Surprisingly, Jesus appears in the line of the sinners to be baptized as well. We know, of course, he had no sin at all. If there was anyone without need of repentance, it was Jesus. But still, there he was, waiting for his turn to be baptized. Why? Why did he go to the Jordan River to be baptized himself? He wants to enter into the water not to be cleansed, but to absorb the sins that were, so to say, floating in the water. His baptism is an anticipation of what was going to happen 3 years later in the cross. The one who is clean enters into the filthy waters. We remember that these waters were, so to say, infested with people's sin, with our sins. They would enter sinful and they would leave, cleansed by these waters. So he enters into those waters and absorbs these sins like a sponge. He is immersed, enters into the darkness of the deep, closes his eyes, goes to the deep of the water, and by doing so anticipates his death and rises from the water victoriously, anticipating his resurrection. So right at the beginning of his public ministry, he is already giving some sign of the cross. He's preparing himself for the cross. After his baptism, Jesus is praying. We just heard that in Luke's account of what happened. And we can wonder, what is he praying about? We don't exactly know, but we can imagine that he's already accepting that cross. He's already saying to the Father, "Lord, I'm ready, Father." There's a psalm that says, "My heart is steadfast, God. My heart is steadfast." I love that psalm. And I think Jesus was praying with along those lines. He's saying to his Father, "Here I am, Lord. You can use me. Here I am, ready to begin my mission." And we can imagine the content of his prayer, because we know how he prayed at the end of his public ministry. In John, we see Jesus praying this way. He says, "I glorify you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began." So in the Last Supper, right before the cross, Jesus is saying to the Father, "Mission accomplished. I did what I had to do. Now it's time to go home. Take me with you, Father, with the glory that I had before doing all this. I finished. I did what you sent me to do." So if he prayed that way at the end of the public life, we can imagine that at the beginning of the public life, he prayed to be strong enough, to be prepared, to be ready for what he had to do ahead. And what happened at the moment when Jesus was baptized and he was praying? The gospel says that three things took place. The heavens opened, the Holy Spirit showed himself in the form of a dove, and a voice from on high expressed the pleasure of the Father acknowledging his Son. So let's take a look at this again. In the first place, the heavens opened. We use that expression, at least in Spanish, I don't know if it works the same way in English, but to refer to a situation that seemed impossible and suddenly a breakthrough takes place. Heaven opens when we suddenly see what we have to do. When we receive a light from God and we know what we have to do, how to handle this situation. And usually for Christians, those kinds of light come to us through prayer, just like Jesus. He was praying and the heaven opens. So if we want the heaven open before us, we need to pray as well. We need to put forward in our conversation with God the things that matter the most to us, the decisions that we need to make, and not move until heaven opens, until we know we have light to see what we need to do. That is what happened to Jesus, and that is what meant to happen to us. In the second place, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit that came upon him like a dove. Of course, the dove is a symbol of this anointment, of this inner grace that he received in that moment from the Holy Spirit. As we probably know, the word Christ comes from the Greek and it means the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one, the Messiah in Hebrew. So much so that it became his personal name, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed. So while he was coming out of the water, the Holy Spirit came and filled Jesus with his presence. The love of the Father, his eternal love for his only begotten Son, impregnated his human nature in a new way, in a mysterious way for us. The power of the incarnation, the very mystery of the hypostatic union, released all its power and confirmed Jesus in a new way and filled him with that love. It was an anointing of love. I think the word anointing is very good, because it also speaks about an oil coming down and impregnating, an oil coming down his heart and filling his heart with the love of the Father, with that joy that comes from love. He was confirmed even more deeply in the love of the Father by the Holy Spirit in that moment, filled with the joy, filled with the love of the Father, like an oil coming down to his heart. And in the third place, while that was happening, a voice was heard from heaven. "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Isn't this beautiful? How much we long to hear those words in our hearts as ourselves. To know in our deepest place that we are beloved sons, beloved daughters of the Father, and that He is well pleased with us. I think all our life we are seeking this type of confirmation that only God can offer. We might seek it in the wrong places, and it's like drinking seawater. It doesn't work, it doesn't quench your thirst. You remain in more need. Only God can confirm us in that way. So the good news today is that to hear those words in our life, to hear that we are the beloved sons and daughters of the Father, we don't need to do anything. Because these words are not about what we have to do, but about who we are. He does not say to Jesus, "Good job, I am well pleased with what you have done." He says, "You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." We are sons and daughters of the Father. We are beloved. That is the grace of our baptism. We were in that moment grafted into Christ, and we became His siblings, literally. Adopted siblings of Christ. And nothing can ever change that. So what do we have to do to enjoy this? Pretty much nothing. We just have to believe it, to receive it, to take some time to reflect on this amazing fact that is with us. I am beloved. He is well pleased with me. Even if I am like the prodigal son, even if if I'm not aware of this reality so often because I'm distracted by other things, even if I am like the oldest one, that I'm not there out of my own will, the Father loves me. All is mine. I think a key to Christian spirituality is what I said at the beginning. What happens to Christ is meant to happen to me as well, because we are grafted onto Him since baptism on. And that is the whole point of being Christians, anointed ourselves, Christians, with Christ's love and with Christ's oil. He becomes our oldest brother, and He becomes also our pattern. He is baptized, we are baptized. He has a public mission, we have our own mission as well. He bears a cross, we have our own cross to bear. He dies and resurrects, and we also have to die to ourselves in order to live in Him. So I think as we begin this semester, I invite you to renew your baptismal call in this Mass today. To renew your willingness to live grafted onto Christ. To renew your desire to go back to that fountain that is within you as often as you can throughout this semester. To go back to that fountain of grace where Jesus dwells, and to connect with that reality that you are His beloved son, His beloved daughter. You will draw from that fountain a lot of strength, a lot of light to know what to do, a lot of joy, because that fountain is full of the love of the Father. You will gain strength to fight, to carry the cross, to know what you have to do, to love others beyond your natural capacities, to live in the joy of God.